Hello and welcome to We Were Hit by Horsetruck and Got Easted into Equestria. I am Ponyville and Canterlot's beloved Graceful Spark. With me as always is my darling cohort Spilled Beans. How are you doing today, Beans?
I feel like I'm repeating myself from last time, but I'm feeling kind of partied out.
Yeah, same. At least this one was a different kind of party. In fact, it is the exact opposite kind of party Pinkie Pie is used to. Because, Now, dear, would you describe it as Season 1, Episode 26, The Best Night Ever, directed by Same People as Always, written by Amy Keating Rogers, original air date May 6, 2011.
I could see people arguing for defining it that way, yes. I don't know if I'd 100% agree, but, you know.
Yeah, like, it certainly is the culmination of the kind of arc we've had this season, so far as you can call it an arc if it's, like, three or four episodes in total touch on this. And, like, it's fun. Yeah. It does, you know, it does tell us that friendship is magic.
Yeah, believe it or not, friends, friendship is the good thing here.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of magic that goes on in this episode, and I don't know if any of that's actually friendship.
Yeah, in fact, relatively little friendship happens here, but they do learn at the end that they should have been doing more friendship.
Yeah. And we get introduced to possibly one of the best named characters in the entire goddamn show.
Is it Pony Joe?
It's Pony Joe, baby.
Yeah! How are you doing, Human Joe?
Right?
Okay, so either Pony's a nickname, or it's like the Pony equivalent of like being named like Guy or Manfred Mann, who we've talked about before.
It might be. I mean, it might just be that this is like a guy who's named Guy.
Yeah. We should have asked. I guess we were busy.
Yeah. It's been a long night at that point, and we had to get back to Ponyville.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have a horse-drawn carriage.
No, we didn't. Which, I mean, do you want to start explaining that madness?
Okay, well, we should probably, we should probably get into the episode.
Yes. Rather than talking about the very end of the episode.
Yeah. Okay,
one of these days we should do the episode where we just explain it from the back and then just, like, fucking... Oh, what's that movie where the events happen in reverse order?
Like a memento ourselves?
Yeah, memento, yeah. Yeah, we need to memento ourselves for one episode.
I would be really surprised if there was at least one episode that's called, like, Memento or something, you know?
Yeah, there's enough seasons to this. There's probably already one. Okay, that one we have to do that way. To make it really confusing as to why it's an episode people give a shit about. We explain it chronologically.
Hell, we could do that with the one time travel episode, but, well, at least there might be more than one time travel episode. I don't know. But what I do know is the episode opens with Pinkie Pie being excited.
Yeah.
This episode also has horses in it, and you should drink water if you're thirsty.
Oh boy.
But Pinkie Pie is excited. She is bouncing on a trampoline just because she's this excited for the Grand Galloping Gala.
Yeah, she is just so on board for the gala.
Mm-hmm. And to the point where, like, both Twilight, who's there reading a book, asked her to calm down, and I believe, and, like, Rarity says, Pinkie Pie, don't get all sweaty before you get in your dress.
Yeah. Which is what gets her to stop bouncing on the trampoline, and, it's Pinkie Pie. So she just puts on the air brakes and just sort of slowly glides down onto the trampoline from a bounce and just walks off it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's Pinkie Pie. All right. Who needs laws of physics?
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And then blah, 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 stuff happens. And then, you know, the rest of the main six show up, including Applejack, who shows up and says, hold your horses.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, I love to hold a horse, such as Beans here, who's very good. He's a very holdable horse.
I do like being held. It is one of my qualities.
Mm-hmm. One of the most holdable horses around. But it seems weird that would be an expression that you have.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think about how that would work. No, I got nothing.
Yeah, like it. The ownership is the weird thing to imply here, but anyways, Applejack and Rainbow Dash show up, all here to see, well, presumably to get dressed, because Carousel Boutique is right there, but also to see Twilight's very good spell that she's getting ready, which is to turn an apple into a horse-drawn carriage, and some mice into horses. Not ponies, horses.
Full-on realistic horses.
Which, like, Twilight refers to as horses, even though they're mouse horses. They're these weird hybrids.
Yeah. They got the knobbly knees and everything. Like, they're horses, baby.
Yeah,
and
like,
giant.
Yeah, like, they're taller than, like, you know, our ponies.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, are horses, like, a separate breed? Like, how do they have a concept of horse as separate from pony?
I mean, they are kind of separate breeds in human world, but...
Kind of, but also pony is used to refer to any small horse. Like, yeah, it's a different way you breed them. They're not, like, a totally different species. But
yes, sorry.
Yeah, but does that imply that there are, like, quote, realistic horses running around somewhere? Are they in a different country than Equestria?
But zebra is pony.
Yeah.
I know, Bert. I know, it's very upsetting. Yeah, I don't know. I find this an upsetting moral quandary, honestly. I don't like it.
Yeah, especially since, like, in this world, the rule of thumb, well, okay, the rule of hoof, is that, like, generally, if something is either, like, a mythical creature or, you know, has the horse body plan, you know, four legs and hooves, then it's, can talk, usually, not always, but usually. But, like, the mouse horses are still, like, mice. They don't gain the ability to talk or anything, which I guess makes sense.
I do think they have more rights than Spike does at this point, but... but, yeah.
Then, regardless, so they, long story short, they get spooked and run off, and then...
Yeah.
Rarity just goes and asks some ponies, some pony guys, Caramel and Lucky Clover, to pull the carriage, and they say yes, because, you know, she's not gonna fuck them either, but, you know?
Yeah. I would like to point out, though, when she goes and asks, there is, like, just a few boys just sort of hanging out in a field together, as you do.
Just guys being dudes.
Yeah, just guys, holding hooves and fucking each other in the non-gay way, and, callbacks, baby! But,
now, you realize it's not gay here, you know? I only let straight horses suck my dick.
Exactly! There is one boy on the right side of frame that just, like, his just entire face disappears. It's a huge animation error.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck happened there.
Oh, yeah, no, that, you saw that guy around a lot. It was embarrassing for them.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Face just squishes together. It's...
yeah.
They really upped their game after this season, and they realized that, like, you know, people are watching.
Yeah. Imagine making a show that people watch.
Couldn't be us.
fuck.
But, yeah, they do agree to pull the carriage. And, yeah, there we go. I assume that Canterlot was, like, a city on the hill and you had to, like, take a hot air balloon or get flown there, but I guess you can walk there. It seemed like a fucking long walk. You gotta climb the mountain and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like a really fucking long way to get there.
Yeah, but regardless, you know, we go into the Carousel Boutique. Yeah, we see ponies getting their hair dried, their mare dried. We get one of the classics is one of the ones I remember fondly, which is, like, Spike is outside, he knocks on the door, he wants to be let in, and Rarity's like, no, you can't come in, we're getting changed. And Applejack is like, Rarity, we don't normally wear clothes.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of genre-savvy commentary in this episode.
Yeah. It's like, ah, fine. Some of us do have standards.
You know, one of the things that we have standards of?
We get a rainbow loaf.
That's correct. We've got a rainbow loaf. That's it. That's the main addition I had in this.
I was excited too, dear. You got one. I'm glad you got a loaf to close out the season.
Oh, it is. Oh, my notes from last night are very scribbled with how busy and tired I was. I don't know if we have any other loaves this entire episode other than that one.
No, it's almost all ponies, you know, walking around and doing things. It certainly is not a very relaxing night.
Yeah, We have, like, what, 3 musical numbers in this one? It's a busy one.
Wiki even says there are more musical numbers that got cut for time.
Holy shit. But yeah, all right. There's our one loaf to finish off the season, then.
Mm-hmm. And, Spike, the important thing here, we see Rarity putting on some fake eyelashes, which was weird to see, but all right.
Yeah. But, yeah, there were...
Yeah, like, I guess it makes sense that she does have more eyelashes than every pony else.
Yes.
But, regardless, the important thing here is that Spike wants to, Spike wants to spend the evening with everyone. He wants everyone to be a group and be together and be friends. And all spend time together.
He's just a dude who wants to be friends.
Yeah, you know, he wants to spend a good time with his friends at the con.
Yeah. Total friend zone appreciator.
Mm-hmm. Like, right after this, we cut to, you know, those two guys pulling the apple carriage, and Spike is outside, like, holding the reins in his little tuxedo, while every pony else is inside, like, talking.
Yeah, it's a little weird that they need a driver when the two ponies present are, you know, sentient.
Yeah, presumably they know where they're going, and in fact, they get mad at Spike when he whips the reins. They're like, if you weren't friends with our neighbor Rarity, they like make a fist with their hoof.
Yeah.
Spike is all excited. He's like, oh, I gotta show you the princess's golden apple tree, Applejack, and blah, blah, blah. He's so excited to like do things with everyone.
Yeah, he's planned out a little guided tour for like a stop for everyone. Like, holy shit, Spike is being one of the best characters in this episode.
Yeah, like this is his hometown. He's excited to share it with everyone. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, he knows things people like in town, wants to show them off.
Yeah. And then I still have no idea like how they walk to Canterlot. It seems like it's a long trip.
I mean, they look like they left in the morning and they are showing up at night.
Yeah. So. Which like these guys are getting the short end of the stick. Like they don't get to go to the gallery. They don't have invitations. Do they, like, just wait outside all night, or do they walk home and then get there then immediately turn around?
I don't know. We did see some other carriages that were pulling in, and, like, they had some boys pulling them around.
Yeah, and, like, I get it, because, like, usually, like, if the metaphor here is prom or whatever, or any sort of fancy event you arrive at a limo to, like, the limo driver, like, you know, drives off and parks or whatever, but, like, these are just, like, some guys, right? Like,
yeah.
Assuming, like, most of the folks there live in Canterlot, so it's not, like, that big a deal to, like, you know, call a car.
Mm-hmm.
We never see these guys again for the rest of the episode, mind you, so, like, you know, hopefully it all worked out.
Yeah, if you liked these two, like, 1998 college graduates, because that is the hairstyles they had. That's just what they screamed to me. Like, if you like these two boys, I'm sorry. They're gone. Goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, we will see Caramel, certainly. Like, we've seen him before. He was the one who lost the apple seeds during winter wrap-up or whatever. But
right.
And I think we'll see him again. The thing is that, like, most of the fandom likes women, either because they're straight boys or because they're lesbians. So, like...
Or they're lesbians who thought they were straight boys.
Yeah, yeah, hi. And,
Yep.
And so, the dudes in the show do not get a lot of attention, but I at least know who Caramel is, you know, in terms of background ponies.
So this He's episode, got that whole dancing and everything. It's great.
Yeah. Like, we do see a lot of, like, dude ponies in this episode. Like, and honestly, yeah, we do. They all look kind of weird and off model to me. But I think that's just because, again, almost all the characters we see are mares.
Yeah. I'm not complaining. Yeah, the boys definitely do feel odd.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they get to the gala. Spike opens the door. He, I guess, sees everyone's outfits for the first time, even though he was present while they were getting dressed.
Okay, but there's a difference between, like, seeing them get ready and, like, we're here at the thing, so we're also, like, doing the posing and the looking.
Yeah, but y'all
looking good.
He also, yeah, he also didn't see them, like, getting in the carriage, whatever. I get it. They're stepping out of the Apple limo. You know, Spike lets them out. We see Rarity's glass slipper. And, yeah.
Chekhov's slipper.
Yeah. You know, everyone looks good. Spike gets a tail boner. It looks so good. Stiff enough to prop himself up on.
Oh, I was wondering who of us would mention it first. Spike's tail boner is a very wonderful little animation choice.
Yeah, it's good. He's so excited. And, yeah, and then they're all excited for the best night ever.
Yeah.
And we get fireworks and we get a song about all the things they're going to do at the gala.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a bop. I don't know. It's not quite my taste in music, but it's got some good vibe. And, like, because every pony has their own, like, little verse that they do. Mm-hmm. And, the song changes usually by, like, introducing, like, one instrument that's a really good, like, parallel for the character.
Yeah, like we get the electric guitar in when it's Rainbow Dash's turn and such.
Yeah. Yeah, Pinkie Pie's got, like, a much more, like, what even is that instrument? I'm very bad at that. But anyway.
Yeah, and this is also our reminder of, like, what every pony wants out of the gala, in case we forgot, or, you know, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, we get, you know, oh, Fluttershy wants to see the creatures, Applejack wants to sell food for money, Rarity wants to have a good night with Prince Blueblood, Rainbow Dash wants to hang out with the Wonderbolt.
Yeah.
Pinkie Pie wants to have a party, wants to have fun at the party, and so on.
Yeah. And Twilight just wants to hang out with Celestia, which, you know what? If I was the God King's chosen student, yeah, I think I'd want to hang out with the God King too, I guess.
Yeah, like, I get that, like, they haven't seen each other in a while, but also, like, Twilight, she's hosting the party. Like, she's going to be preoccupied.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm gonna... I won't harp on this very much, but, like, of these ponies, like, only, like, Rarity and Rainbow Dash have, like, a reasonable reason to be here. Like, who have, like, either could not have come another night or couldn't have known in advance that their plans wouldn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, Fluttershy, chances are a lot of the animals don't want to meet you because, like, it's the middle of the night and also there's a loud party going on.
Yeah, and, like, it seemed like you know the princess's, like, personal student. I bet you could get into the gardens some other night.
Yeah, when the animals aren't stressed.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, like, Pinkie Pie, it's a giant party. Like, yeah. This at least makes sense for her. It's not good, but it at least makes sense.
Yeah, and honestly, I could see, like, trying to tell Pinkie Pie it's not the kind of party she thinks it is, and she just does not understand.
Yeah.
Like, even when she is confronted with, like, that information, and someone even tells her this is not that kind of party, she does not understand. She completely misinterprets it.
Yeah. Also, they have a really nice thing with the end of the song, where they have, like, just a little reminder of each pony having, like, a... like, saying the one word that is important for them to do. And the background of Rainbow Dash's is just, you know, a pride flag. It's very good. Like, I understand it's also her hair, but, like, damn.
Yeah, she's a gay horse. Like,
there is something about her dressed as some kind of weird, like, Greek goddess.
Yeah,
with a rainbow behind her and her just saying to prove. Yeah. And it's like, yes.
She's going
prove that you are worthy of hanging out with them Thunderbolts.
She's going to prove that lesbians can be Blue Angels too.
Right?
Lesbians can also be troops.
I wish that wasn't the thing, but it is.
Uh, Also, it is weird to me that Raven is wearing grapes around her neck. I know I pointed this out in the Art of the Dress episode, but it's still true. Like, it's...
I mean, yeah.
I get that it makes sense with the Greek statue aesthetic.
Yep. Possibly Roman with the, like, garland thing going on. But yeah. Yeah.
This Greco-Roman horse.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they all sing into the gala. And then Spike at the end, like, slides in on his knees, like, yeah! And then he doesn't even get to say, I can't wait to spend the evening with you all before they run off, leaving him all sad and alone, and looking weirdly pantsless, because he's wearing, like, his little suit jacket with the bow tie, and it has that kind of effect where, like, him wearing a shirt just makes you notice he's not wearing pants.
Yeah, like, they even commented earlier that, like, Spike shouldn't see them while they're getting dressed. Because the concept of having clothes makes you aware of nudity.
Yeah.
And yeah, Spike just being dick out here is weird when he's just dick out all the time normally, and that's fine.
Yeah, no, it's the Donald Duck effect, right? Like...
Exactly.
Or the Donald Dick effect, if you will.
Kind of screwed up.
Yeah? Good duck penis joke, dear.
Thank you.
All right. First off, we spread ourselves a little thin here.
Oh.
Because, well, I mean, there's six ponies and two of us, and they're all having their own little arcs.
Yeah.
But, Twilight goes and meets up with Celestia. They're excited. Celestia's like, okay, hey, I'm looking forward to it. I want to spend the entire night by my side. And then, she's happy about that.
Yeah, the two of them want to hang out. Yeah. Makes sense.
And then Rarity sees Blue Blood and, like, you know, runs to follow him, but you can't follow him too bad. And then
you can't go too fast, but you can't lose him, but you can't go too fast.
Yeah, you have to look good. You can't look desperate. And then
yeah,
you know, he's holding a rose in his teeth.
It's weird that he, like, when they meet in the garden, he's holding a rose, and when we come back to Rarity and him, they are talking about a different rose.
Yeah,
when they get there,
like. When we see him holding the rose, the screen has this kind of, like, fuzzy filter on it, which I thought was my eyes. I think that was me echoing into Rarity's, like, dream sequence.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of blurry vision. I don't know. I was worried that maybe there'd been some spiked punch or something, because I was feeling a little bit out of it the entire night.
Yeah, but we already had that.
Yes.
Unless Spike is bathing in this punch, too.
Oh, that was Gummy bathing in the other punch.
No, because it was at the, when we're at the, watching the stars, right? And the Owl Horse
okay,
episode.
Yeah, but that was Spike being sleepy in an empty punch bowl. Yeah. Not Gummy who was swimming in a punch bowl.
Yeah, I don't think Spike would intentionally bathe in the punch bowl.
He has some manners.
Yeah, as in, we hear, Fluttershy hears a bird, a meadowlark, and she enters the gardens. And, I think the bird is calling to me. She sings back, and she follows the sound. And Applejack sets up her little apple cart that I guess she got at some point. And,
yeah, it was probably just crammed in the back of the apple wagon.
Yeah, and she manages to sell Soarin', one of the Wonder Bolts, a big apple pie.
Aw, yeah, first minute, first sale.
Yep, and this is where Applejack says the apple pie costs 2 bits. And, yep. Again, I've talked about this before, but the fandom decided that the money they use in Equestria is called bits, even though bits is a folksy way of saying half a quarter.
Yeah. Damn, that's a cheap pie.
Yeah. Like, I guess it makes sense for a horse money to be called bits, but, like, that always bugged me. I always thought that was weird. Like, she's clearly, like, being folksy and using a slang term. I don't know, it's like saying, it's like seeing someone say, oh yeah, that'll be $5, and assuming we call our money bucks, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the greatest.
But I think they did later canonize this, so fuck me, I guess. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Look, they caved a lot to the fandom as the show went on, and some of those choices were good and some of them were bad.
Yeah. The show existed a dialogue with its fan base, and that's great and terrible at the same time.
Yeah.
And we follow Soarin', you know, making his way to the VIP area. And he when Spitfire, who, I'll admit it, kind of hot, you know, kind of a MILF, reblog.
Yep.
she is a troop. You cannot appreciate her. No, I like her.
But look, I will appreciate her the moment she retires.
Yeah. What, she becomes a veteran?
Look, not being active troops at least makes someone a person again.
Mm-hmm.
Being active troops or being a cop, you stop being a human being. I'm sorry, that's just how it works. Mm-hmm. Well, stop being a pony, rather.
Mm-hmm. And then Sora's talking to Spitfire. Do it so makes him drop his pie, because he's holding the pie in his mouth.
I mean, where else is he going to hold it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like wing hands wouldn't work here, but,
No, but not with a pie this big.
Yeah, so he drops his pie. Rainbow Dash rushes to the rescue to grab the pie. Sora shouts, "My pie!"
It's very good.
Yeah, and then Sora walks away with his pie and begins to, like, and he fucking loves it. He just, like, puts it on the ground in the middle of the walkway and starts eating it. And
somehow this is not the most gauche thing that happens the entire night. Yeah,
like, okay, so you know the thing that happens where, like, an anime character will mention bread once, and then all the fanic would think about is that they love bread. That's the entire joke. People draw them with bread. People, like, ship them with bread and so on.
That was Soren and Pie, I'm guessing.
Yep. That was, like, that's Soren's, at this point, is basically only a personality trait. Like, I was friends with a Soren role player back in the day, and, like, you know, that was, like, his whole, you know, he embellished on the character, of course, but, like, you know, you have to start from Pie, or in opposition to Pie, and work your way out, you know? That's, like, the one thing anyone knows about
him.
Yeah,
you either love or hate Pie, and then go from there.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Rainbow Dash gets talking to Spitfire. Spitfire's like, "Oh, hey, you're the pony who saved our lives that one time. Want to hang out?"
And Rainbow Dash has one of the most fangirl moments we've seen her have. And she's had a few of them.
Yeah. She's so excited.
But also, like, yeah. She's so adorable wanting to hang out with her troop.
Her idols.
MILF.
Yeah. Her trilf.
Yeah, there we are.
I don't know how they managed to make Spitfire look like a MILF, like, given that she's wearing a bodysuit. But, like, congrats.
It's the fact that her eyes are always a little bit droopy.
Yeah, I can see that.
She always looks very tired.
Yeah, because she's tired as opposed to, like, Rarity's constant bedroom eyes.
Mm-hmm. But, like, all the other Wonderbolts we see either have their goggles down,
mm-hmm.
or they're like Soren, where, like, when they close their eyes, like, the blue of the actual, like, bodysuit closes with them.
Mm-hmm.
Hers shows the, like, yellow of her fur.
Oh, yeah, you can see. That's good thinking. You can see her eyelids.
Exactly. She has stated eyelids, which makes her look more tired.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. This is Artist Corner.
I appreciate it. It's a good corner.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I think we've used all four, given that two of them are BJ corners, one of them is yours, and one of them is Princess Grace's fandom corner.
Ah, yes. The horse is for isekai teens.
I knew we should have made a pentagonal podcasting zone.
Look, maybe we can just renovate one of the BJ corners.
Alright, but Billy Joel, you better get in here soon before we renovate away one of the BJ corners.
Yeah.
Alright, and then we cut to Pinkie Pie, who, like, is ready to dance, and she sees the dance floor, and no pony's dancing, but she sees the pretty party pony, and we see the band, including Octavia.
Baby!
Who, you know, beloved music horse, commonly shipped with a Vinyl Scratch, aka DJ Pwn 3.
Yeah. I quite like that ship, actually. Yeah.
They're good for
it's
each other.
It's a cute
other.
One.
They're good for each other. I like the music ponies.
Hmm.
I honestly kind of forgot she was part of a band. Like, there's, like, a piano pony, a tuba pony, and a harp pony. Who, like, no one has ever cared about.
Yeah, I feel bad for harp pony. That's a bad job to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And no one cares for him.
Mm-hmm. But everyone likes Toppy. I don't know how she's holding the bow for her cello, but you know what? Good for her.
Yeah.
Pinkie Pie's got to dance, and she starts dancing, and she starts standing up on her hind hooves and, like, does a kick. She dances on the statue, and no pony likes this. She gets up on the stage and just starts, like, dancing with the band and, like, hugging them while they're dancing. She pops up inside the piano.
Yeah, it's not great. The pianist pony is not pleased by this whole turn of events.
Yeah, I wouldn't be. I was a pianist at one point in my life, and I wouldn't appreciate some pony messing around in my piano. I mean, for one thing, if there's a horse in your piano, it doesn't work.
Doctor, there's a horse in my piano.
I feel like I don't have to explain how a piano works in order to, like, it doesn't work if there's a horse in it. She, like, puts, like, two ponies in a headlock, two of the guests in a headlock. And then she realizes, like, wait a minute, no pony likes this. No pony else is dancing. Like, I should have gotten a cutie mark on reading the room.
What a good fucking line.
Yeah. It's not from this. It's from a song. I'll put it in the description, but...
Yeah. It's a very good song.
Yeah. This horse is gay. This horse is trans.
Yeah. She don't date men's.
She don't date men's. We cut back to Prince Blueblood and Rarity, where, like, Rarity is sniffing a rose, and yeah, it's not the rose that Blueblood had in his teeth, which may or might not have existed.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna be honest, I spend a lot of my time either peeking in on Fluttershy or Rainbow Dash. Mm-hmm. I did not give too much of a shit about Rarity.
Yeah, like, the entire thing is, like, Blueblood is self-centered and, like, isn't a gentle cult like Rarity wants him to be. Like, he's not very considerate, he's just kind of an asshole.
I mean, he's basically just if Rarity was a guy, is the thing.
Yeah, like, Rarity, like, understands generosity, that's, like, her whole thing. But, like,
literally the entire, like, hey, let's have some gender talk. Literally the entire thing here is, like, Rarity's like, ah, cool, the gentlemanly thing would be to, like, give the woman this. And Bluebud's like, ah, I'm the prince, therefore I get the thing the woman should get.
Yeah.
Because I have a higher, like, social strata. It's got some genders.
Yeah, or he's, like, it's hard to, don't even necessarily read him as, like, I am of higher class, therefore I should get this, as much as it is, like, I mean, that's part of it, but it's, like, he's a clueless rich person who just, like, is used to taking what he wants because he's a prince.
I mean, his name is Blueblood.
Yeah, his name is Prince Blueblood. Like, this is textbook, like, rich people don't understand that things are not for them. Like, they don't, you know, they live in a completely different world than the rest of us.
Okay, but, like, this is, like, they pluck the rose and he puts it in his, like, little...
Yeah, his pocket.
Like, he only has... Yeah, but he, like, only has the collar of a tuxedo on. But he, tucks in the collar. When, like, the gentlemanly thing to do would be to have, like, put that behind Rarity's ear or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, he's absolutely being a dick. Like, and Rarity, like, clearly, they both appreciate the rose. Rarity, like, clearly expects him to give it to her, but he just, like, tucks it into his tux. So, like, oh, it goes with my eyes.
And it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Yeah, he has blue eyes. He has blue eyes. The rose is green and red. I don't know what he means by this.
I mean, so does Rarity. It doesn't go with either of their eyes, but...
Yeah, but it's a weird thing to say, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you say it goes with your eyes with someone else, it's a compliment, right? So Rarity's disappointed in this, and then, obviously. And then Fluttershy tracks down who's whistling, and the whistling is a gardener who... He's an old pony, and he doesn't have a cutie mark?
Yeah, that seemed weird.
Like, it seems kind of sad. Like, he's a gardener, but, like, he doesn't have a cutie mark. He never found what he's good at?
Maybe when ponies get real old, their cutie marks fall off.
Well, but Granny's Pistol has hers.
Okay. All right, I'm about to make this even darker. Maybe ponies' cutie marks fall off, like, when they are no longer applicable. Granny Smith can still, like, bake some pies and stuff, so she still has her cutie mark. As soon as she gets too old to be able to actually bake pies, she'll lose her cutie mark.
Damn, fucked up. Like,
yeah.
We do see, like, a cutie mark affecting magic later on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, like... It's also fucked up to think that, like, this guy never found his life's calling. Like, That's kind of the implicit promise of this society is that, like, you will find your cutie mark, but, like, no, I guess somebody's just get old and, like, never find what they're good at.
He could also just be, like, a mule or something.
Yeah, that's possible.
Like, they've definitely animate his mouth differently than everyone else's, so maybe that's the thing.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Hmm.
Well, okay, so I will say that, like, we see him a couple times, apparently. I'm looking at the wiki, and, like, we do see him later. Fluttershy A addressed him as Mr. Greenhooves, and implies that he is a pony.
Oh, all right then. Well, there goes my theory.
Oh, okay, so the wiki here also says, quote, he appears to have no cutie mark because he had a blanket over his flank. But if we ever add one, it will probably be a blade of wheat. That's a quote.
Huh.
But, like, I don't think the blanket covers where his cutie mark would be. I think they put the blanket in the wrong place.
Yeah, just a bit.
So, unintentionally fucked up, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But, Fluttershy sees some animals, and she, like, including a wallaroo and a spider monkey?
Yeah, the menagerie has some, interestingly, wide animals it keeps in here.
Yeah, like, there's a toucan and a vulture and a spider monkey and a what she calls a wallaroo that looks like a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and then she runs toward them, like, saying hello, and she's like, why do I have to be such a loud mouth?
Yeah, because she scares them away, and she's like, oh, why are you such a loud mouth, Fluttershy? It's like, girl, you're fucking quiet as shit.
Yeah, it's very cute. Oh, she doesn't know how quiet she is. It's very cute.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, we cut back to Rainbow Dash in the VIP area, and she fails to get the Wonderbolt's attention.
Yeah, she does a few pranks to try and get their attention. They don't work.
Yeah. And every time she does get the Wonderbolt's attention, they, like, get pulled away to do something else. Usually by, like, you know, knocking a guy into the air or a drink into the air and catching it at the last bit to be the hero again.
Yeah, she's kind of a one-trick pony in this regard.
Yeah, instead of just, like, joining a conversation, which would be the normal thing to do here.
She does try that originally, and, like, the conversation's just too loud or something.
Well, no, she tries talking to Spitfire while Spitfire's talking to someone else. She doesn't join the conversation. She's trying to pull Spitfire away. There's a difference.
That's fair.
And then we get Twilight and Celestia, and basically Celestia has to stand at these stairs all night and greet every pony. That's all she does.
Yeah, what a shitty thing to have to do for a...
Yeah, and, like, I get it. When you're the host, that's what you do. But, like, you know, what are you gonna do, huh?
Yeah.
No pony is buying in from Applejack. Yeah, she's all sad about it. You know, first minute, first sale. Second minute, third minute, 60th minute, and so on.
Yeah.
Pinkie Pie...
This ain't what I expected at all.
Yeah. Applejack... anyone could have told you the party would be catered. But, whatever. Like, I'm sorry I'm being mean to you specifically, Applejack, but, like, this was never going to work. But Pinkie Pie is sad, she's at the Grand Galloping Gala, is that what she dreamed? Rarity and Blue Blood are outside, and he sits on the last cushion. Oh, this isn't at all what I imagined. This is what Twilight hoped, this isn't hanging out, this is what I wished for. And they all resolve that this is gonna be the best night ever.
Like, Rainbow Dash, like, saying, this isn't what hanging out, was one of those things that, like, stuck in my mind for a long time. Because I have unironically used that sentence while sucking someone's dick, so, you know.
This isn't hanging out.
Yeah. Wait a second, we aren't just hanging out, this is sex.
You're straight, right?
No.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, there. I do appreciate that all of them are like, huh, this isn't what I was expecting. And instead of trying to conform to society on this at all, I'm going to make this my night.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it perfect. For me.
Yeah, I'm going to make this the best night ever. So, like, and they all resolve to do that. Like, Fluttershy sets up a carrot under a box, and it was like one of them, like, propped up box traps, and then leaves, and then when she hears someone eating the carrot, she pulls the box, and it's the gardener again.
Yeah. Who, like, I don't know. Honestly, Fluttershy, I think you and this gardener could actually probably be good friends. He seems like a chill dude who's just out here doing some gardening. Seems like a great way to meet some animals. I don't know.
Yeah, like, maybe he could, like, give you some advice, or at least talk about the animals with you. He seems to know about them. But, like, because she even says, I just want to be your friend, as she creeps up, and then he sticks his head up like, yep, sounds good to me, I'll be your friend. Like, I'm eating the carrot.
Yeah? Like, okay. But, excuse me for a second. I need to give some dating advice to straight dudes. Hey, straight dudes. Go, like, pick up a hobby that you can, like, learn in a group. I don't know. Like, drawing or sculpting or something, like something that, like, you can go to a, like, class for, because then you can go and, I don't know, maybe meet a cute girl who's doing that, and you got, like, an activity to talk about, and you got a foot in the door, and you can learn a cool thing even if there aren't any girls there. So you can have a cool thing about yourself, like trying to meet people through doing fun activities like gardening, if that's your thing. Good. Make friends with this gardener, Fluttershy. All the animals will like you.
Yeah. Like, if nothing else, like, Fluttershy, I realize, like, you're getting anxious and, like, you're trying to double down, but, like, you gotta relax, Fluttershy. You know this. You know that the animals aren't going to come to you if you're trying too hard.
Yeah. If you're trying too hard, they just get sore and they won't come.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's see. Rainbow Dash, like, tries to cause problems and fix them to get the Wonderbolt's attention. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
There's this whole weird thing where, like, Blue Blood and Rarity come across a spilled drink.
Because Rainbow Dash flips a guy, and then the Wonderbolts don't notice, so she just drops him. But his drink gets spilled in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so then Rarity and Blue Blood come across this puddle, and then he's like, oh! You know, he, like, holds his hoof, like, oh, but fair later, there's a puddle. And Rarity's like, oh, how gentlemanly, you stop me from stepping in the puddle, we wouldn't want to slip. And he's like, oh, one wouldn't want to slip. And then he's like, oh, one's cloak should handle it. And I'm just there like, go around! Like, there's nothing there. Like, they're trying to, like, replicate the trope of, like, the guy puts his jacket down so the lady can step across.
Again, genders. Like,
yeah.
Who gets the seat pulled out for them? Usually the girl. Blue Blood takes it. Who puts down a piece of clothing to be able to cross a pond? The guy. Look, it's Rarity's shawl that gets dropped. Like,
yeah. Because he's like, oh, one cloak would do it. Because, like, but, like, this was unnecessary in the first place, right? Like, go around. Like, there's no table or anything there.
It's
go
a
around.
Tiny spill. Like, you just step over it. It's a single drink.
Yeah.
Your horses!
Yeah, like, go around!
Yeah! Jump over, I don't know.
I almost ruined the scene because I was shouting, go around! Like, But, like, Rarity is, like, coaxed into putting her cloak down for him to step on. To the thing, which, like, by the way, would still get your hooves wet. So, like, it didn't even do anything.
And then she, like, had the wet rag tossed over her shoulders, so that's great.
So, like, this part just sucks.
All around bad.
And then Pinkie Pie, we get our second song of the episode where Pinkie Pie is like, oh, she has an idea, and she gets everyone in the band to play the Pony Pokey, which is the horse version of the Hokey Pokey.
Yeah.
And we get another musical montage where, you know, and this is kind of fun. It's well laid out where, like, you know, you put your right hoof in, and you shake it all about, and it's like we see Twilight getting shaken by one of the ponies shaking her hoof.
Like the first one that, like, put your hoof in and taking it is just her, like, getting, like, shaking hooves with people next to Celestia, and then the shake it all about one is just her entire body gets shaken by this fucking horse. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. And Yeah, then she does it again with Applejack knocking some apples out to trip one of the partygoers so she can, like, try and sell him some apples, which doesn't work.
Didn't Apple Bloom try this in the past and, like, Applejack scolded her for it?
Almost exactly. I don't think she, like, tried to get some pony to trip, but she did, like, Apple Bloom did, like, put apples into some pony's bag and try to bully them into paying for it, or, like, accuse someone, some pony of, like, ruining the apples somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, yeah, that doesn't work, and Applejack's sad. And then, it certainly is, like, underhanded, underhooved.
Mm-hmm.
We see Rainbow Dash, like, knock a drink over and then catch it to impress Soren and Spitfire, but they just, like, some hooves extend from off screen and grab them.
To take a photo, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real fucked up. It feels like Spitfire and Soren also want to actually hang out with Rainbow Dash, but they're just, like, too... You know, they're public figures, so they keep getting pulled away for stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they also have, like, stuff to do, even though they do seem to enjoy Rainbow Dash's company.
Like, Rainbow Dash and Twilight both have the same thing of, like, they have a somewhat personal relationship with someone they greatly respect, and the person's at this party, so they want to spend time with the person they respect, and they just can't. And, you know, that sucks, actually. Like...
Yeah, that sucks.
I 100% understand Twilight and Rainbow Dash's problems here.
Yeah, like, yes, you know, maybe you could see that, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, Celestia's the host. She's going to have responsibilities. But, you know, I can see how maybe you would hope that you get to do more with
her.
Yeah,
like, even just getting a chat or something would be nice. But which, like, is all Twilight wants.
Yeah. You know, she wants to spend some time alone. I get that. Yeah. You know. Maybe you're even hoping that, like, you'll get to hang out with her afterwards. But,
Also, I have the horrible fear of being Applejack at a convention, but I have not been Applejack at a convention. Thankfully.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, like, every convention I've been to, like, wants you to sell things. That, like, you know, obviously you pay for a booth or whatever, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I also imagine, like, paying for a booth and not selling anything would...
Oh, absolutely.
Suck.
Yeah, like, going to a convention and breaking even is generally considered bad. Because, I mean, that's time you could have just spent not doing the travel.
Applejack is tabling at a convention that does not want her, and in fact is handing out free goods in the other room.
Exactly.
And what she should have done before. I'm sorry, Applejack. I love you. I don't mean to keep bullying you over this.
It is possibly the stupidest thing Applejack has ever done.
Yeah, because usually she's so down to earth. Like, usually she's the reasonable one.
The fact that she didn't think about this at all.
And also, like, that no pony, like, thought to tell her this. Like, at least Twilight and Rarity seem to have some familiarity with the gala.
Yeah.
Even if they've never been. But regardless, we see Rarity and Blue Blood, like, both at a pair of doorknobs, which, how do you open a doorknob with hooves? Do you put your mouth on it? That doesn't seem sanitary.
It really doesn't.
Like, they're both unicorns. Like, it's not that they can't open the door, but, like, it seems weirdly classist to have doorknobs.
Yeah.
Is this a unicorn's only door? Am I expected to slobber all over this door or use my teeth to open it?
I mean, if even in this episode, we've seen ponies holding things that they technically shouldn't be able to. So
yeah, like the cello.
If you can hold a cello, you can probably turn a doorknob.
Yeah, and you'll notice they dodge this question by, like, Rarity and Blue Blood go back and forth because it's gender again. Rarity expects him to open the door.
Yeah,
but they're both, like, pointing their head towards the door, and Rarity gets, like, shocked, so shocked that her tiara disappears for a moment. And,
I'm glad that I was the one
angry
at that error. Thank you.
Happy to help, horse help. And she gets, like, mad. She gets, like, really, like, the stare mad.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the other side of the door, so we don't have to, like, answer the question of how it gets opened.
But Rarity was the one who ended up opening it.
Yeah. Blue Blood walks through, Rarity goes through, and the door hits her in the butt on the way out.
Yeah. Rarity's having definitely the worst night, though. Okay.
Yeah, this of course set to, you know, Pinkie Pie saying, you put your head in, you put your head out, you put your head in, you shake it all about.
Notably, I would say Applejack's having a worse night, looking at the financial investment she had, but again, Applejack, you should have known better. Rarity's just having a fucking horrible night.
Yeah, like, she is spending good time after bad with this asshole, but I get why you would do that.
Yeah, she wants a rich husband.
Yeah, like, it's important to remember that, like, Rarity's, like, whole plan here is to marry above her station and have a rich husband. She doesn't even, I think, really care for Blue Blood that much. Like, she wants him to, like, pamper her, that's about it. Or it's like, get that paper, dear, I get... She wants a sugar daddy. A sugar prince.
Unfortunately, that's Mr. Cake. And he's already spoken for.
Yeah, we already have a sugar dilf. Or shilf, if you will. Shadilf?
I think now's around the time where we go over to Fluttershy, though, right?
Yeah, because we get Pinkie Pie going, you put your whole self in, you put your whole self out to, like, Fluttershy, like, throwing her entire body at birds.
Yeah.
Or, like, a squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely also making bad choices.
Yeah, like, she is, you know, doubling and tripling down. She is, you know, pissed off, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, her mane's gone all scrungly, her outfit's getting, like, ruined.
Yeah, we get her shouting, like, "Come out!" Like, at the screen, which was a very popular, you know, horse meme for isekai teens back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
Yeah. Not so much as her later, "You're going to love me," but, like, still very much.
Yeah. Yeah, the "You're gonna love me," like, gif, I think was one of the last, like, pony-related gifs I stopped using. That one lasted a long time in my repertoire.
Mm-hmm. It's a classic. And then we get back to Pinkie Pie, who is, like, on stage, like, bumping the pianist pony with her butt. She, like, grabs Octavia's hooves and, like, moves the bow back and forth on the cello and knocks into her. Which, like, why are you doing this, Pinkie? Like, come on.
Yeah.
They humored you by playing this song and you're, like, making their jobs harder? Come on.
If there's one thing I know about Pinkie Pie, she is a mosh pit of a dancer, no matter what the dance is.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, she dances, and somebody even tells her, like, "Young lady, this is not that kind of party." It's like, "Oh, you don't want a party, you want a party." Where it's like, again, way to read the room, Pinkie Pie. Then we cut back to Applejack, who's bored out of her mind. We get Rarity and Blue Blood show up, and then, you know, she orders some apple fritters. And then, you know, she expects him to pay. He refuses. Applejack's like, don't worry about it, Rarity. I got you covered. And, like, Blue Blood, like, spits it out. She's like, "My royal lips have touched a common carnival fare." Like, you didn't notice this beforehand?
Yeah.
Like, apple pie, dumplings, fritters, cupcakes.
Look, if you are too rich for fritters, you deserve death.
Yeah, like, hey, it's perfectly good food, bitch. Second of all, like, how did you not notice that, like, this was below your station or whatever beforehand?
She even said that they were fritters.
Yeah, like, were you not listening? Like, were you so self-absorbed? You dick, you dunce, you asshole.
Right?
Bitch. Right. This guy sucks.
He really is the worst.
He's openly classist. Like, he's rude. He's a piece of shit. Like, bitch.
Yeah, Rarity, why do you want this guy? This guy's bad.
Because she wants a rich husband. Yeah, but... She knows he's a dick. Like, she's hoping that, like, Princess Celestia will, like, make him marry her after being impressed by how fancy Rarity is. So she can have a rich husband and be... Okay, like, but if you marry this guy, does that make you a princess?
It, Technically would.
But not like a big princess. No. So like presumably they have there are ponies who have the title of princess but aren't god kings?
Yeah, I guess. Like the fact that it isn't Queen Celestia is very confusing. It really should
yeah.
be.
Yeah, and like I know why it is, right? Because little girls like princesses more than like queens. The connotation is the evil queen and the good princess with the frilly dress.
Yeah.
But that breaks down.
Yeah, it really do.
Mm-hmm. And then Blue Blood's like, I'm going to the buffet for some hors d'oeuvres. And then Rarity's like, well, no wonder no pony wants my food. This event is catered. Like,
how dare they eat the free fancy food when I've got common food they have to pay but for?
And, like, she didn't notice this when she was walking around. No pony mentioned this to her. And instead of, like, admitting defeat and, like, I don't know, going to hang out with one of her friends, she, like, well, I'll turn my food into an apple cake that's fancy enough for him.
Yeah, but you're still not going to sell it at this point, AJ. What are you doing?
No one's expecting to pay for food here, Applejack. It's going to be a tough sell no matter what it is. And then we cut back to Fluttershy, who's, like, eye-twitching and, like, gets up on her hind hooves and cackles in front of a lightning strike and thunder, which, gender,
admittedly. Yeah, this is the cool jokification of Fluttershy right now.
Yeah, she is going full mad scientist, and I love this for her. And then she trips and falls into her own, like, net snare trap.
Yeah. Hey, this is going to be a kind of niche listening audience, but hey, if you're looking for some core content and you're looking for a new character, I don't know. Fluttershy in this episode feels like a really fun, like, backstory arc to steal as a reason for why your character is a villain now.
Yeah, the animals didn't like me. And I mean the non-sentient animals, not furries like
right?
us.
Right, yeah. More along lines of just, like, the trying so hard that they just kinda went a little crazy over it. Like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah. Classic Matt Science.
Exactly.
You love to see it. And, like, I have, in fact, seen, like, pictures of, like, Fluttershy and, like, the button-up Howie lab coat and, like, the rubber gloves, which are just, like, you know, black latex cylinders on a pony.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's a good look. I've seen her in it. It's mm-hmm. it's a good look. But we got back to Pinkie Pie, who suddenly somehow produced, like, a DJ turntable.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. I mean, I guess if Octavia's here, maybe her girlfriend's turntable. Like, maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe Vinyl Scratch was planning on doing something for the evening.
Yeah, doing a DJ set.
Yeah.
And then Pinkie Pie keeps dancing. She dances even more. She rams her head up against some pony's butt.
Yeah, fully lifting the other pony's like hips off the ground. It's a whole thing. She took notes from Rainbow Dash last episode.
Yeah, she like dance. She like throws pony up and around. She like is just mosh pitting all over the place, as you said, dear.
Yeah, like the last one where she, like, just, like, full-on, like, gets under someone and just stands up and throws them into the air. Like, someone somewhere out there has to have edited that to be a, like Smash Bros., like, knocking out of the arena move. Because that feels like exactly what that is. Like, just get that, like, red and white flash in from the side of the screen. Just the big game across the middle.
Yeah. Super Smash Bros.
Right? Rainbow Dash in this also has a few things that have that sort of energy too, come to think of it.
Yeah. She does just home run bat that one guy and then
exactly.
And then we get Applejack wheeling in an apple cake, which again, Applejack, no ponies, even if they eat your cake, it's going to be weird to expect them to pay for
okay,
it.
Okay, but Applejack totally poisoned that cake, though, right?
I mean, I would, too. No orbit class war.
Exactly.
And then But of course, Pinkie Pie does a stage dive into her cart.
Yeah.
Which launches the cake towards Rarity and Blue Blood. And Blue Blood, like, puts Rarity between himself and the cake.
No, puts Rarity between him. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Blue Blood just hides behind Rarity when both of them could have just stepped out of the way.
Yeah. And she gets cake all over her. She's, like, red, mad, and new, and clothed. And she's like, oh, you're the most uncharming prince I've ever seen. You're a royal pain. And she's like, oh, get your back, you're all messy. I just had myself groomed.
He really does. I love that, like, Rarity, the pony who has repeatedly been the one who's like, oh, no, I might get my hoof dirty, is like, oh, you're scared of getting dirty, are you? Let me just fucking shake all this cake all over you then.
Yeah, like, yeah, because, like, he's bad that he threw her under the bus, under the cake, when, like, let's be honest, Rarity would do the exact same thing in her position.
Yeah.
Regardless, she does shake herself off on him to, like, spatter him with cake, which just completely incapacitates him.
Yes, it's pretty good. What a piece of shit. He deserves it.
Yeah, that somehow, like, destabilized the statue, I think.
He, like, fell over into it. And he's a big, heavy boy.
And the statue, I guess, yeah, the statue was apparently, like, not, because it's in that sort of, like, tiny, pointy hoof style, so, like, only, like, four little attachment points, plus maybe the tail. So, like, that starts wobbling, and Rainbow Dash rushes to catch it, of course, because she's been catching things all night. But, like, it's a big statue, and so she can't keep it steady, and knocks into some pillars that, I guess, all fall down, that fortunately aren't load-bearing or anything.
Yeah,
I guess.
That was weird watching those pillars tumble. I don't know why those pillars were even there.
Yeah, like, I guess they're just decorative, but still made out of heavy stone, but they're not, like, attached to, like, the wall, the floor or ceiling.
Yeah, choices were made.
And then, yeah. Fortunately, no ponies hurt, but, you know, the pillars fall like dominoes. Celestia and Twilight walk in, like, oh, well, at least it can't get any worse. And then Fluttershy bursts in, like, you're going to love me!
Yeah. Oh, I love that frame so much, though.
Yeah, that is a classic. That is primo, like, classic Flutter Rage.
Yeah. I appreciate that Celestia just, like, leans down to Twilight and just says, run.
Yeah.
And being exactly this group of six friends, Twilight whistles once and just, like, gestures the hoof, and all the rest of them are like, oh, yeah, no, okay, we gotta leave. We're out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, they run out with, like, Fluttershy has a squirrel in her mouth.
Yeah, it's weird.
And, like, Rarity drops her glass slipper, and Pinkie Pie's like, oh, Rarity, you dropped your glass slipper. Now your prince is sure to follow you, and it'll be true love. Rarity stomps back up and smashes it.
It's very good.
It's so good.
And then we're at Donut Joe's.
Yeah, well, fortunately, this Ponymondium, as I've been calling it, was the perfect time to sneak off and get Luna's autograph.
Yes. That was very good.
So, and we had to find her. Like, she was not in attendance at the party. This is still, like, before her redemption arc, such as it is.
Look, I don't blame her not wanting to be there, honestly. I was partied out from Fluttershy, and then we had, like, quite a while between these two events, and I'm still feeling partied out. Is it Fluttershy what I meant?
Yeah.
Pinkie Pie. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, it's Fluttershy made it sound like this party always sucks.
Yeah.
Usually it's just boring, so, like, I can see why Luna wouldn't want to be there. But, like, you know.
Yeah. So, hey.
I got her to sign a napkin, you know, had a little heart-to-heart, you know, one night head to another.
So, it was a nice time. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I got a nice little frame for that, so, hey.
Yeah.
Strawberry Squeeze, if you want to come by and pick that up, we got it sent around for you.
Yeah. Happy ending. And then we cut to Donut Joe's, where, like, Spike is, like, slamming his hot chocolate on the counter, like, I want another one! And Donut Joe's like, Haven't you had enough? It's, you know, the old, like, you know, guy at a bar. And, yeah, the bartender's, like, trying to convince him he's had enough. Like, where he's been eating donuts and having a hot chocolate all night. And then, yeah, the main six show up, all looking worse for wear. And, you know, they all explain they had a terrible night. And they all laugh about it.
Yeah, this is where Celestia wanders in and is just like, hey, yeah, I mean, you said it was the worst night, but I had a great time. Because these parties suck.
Yeah.
And I knew inviting you, you fuckos, would make it great. Thanks for...
Yeah, I'm glad you spiced it up.
Thanks for ruining this party for, like, everyone except me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this party always sucks. I'm glad you all made it exciting.
Congratulations, you're all pariahs now.
Well, so they all laugh it off, and, you know, happy ending. And I did want to mention that if you've ever heard of the pony porn artist Ponut Joe, yeah, that comes from this episode.
Oh, that explains a lot. I believe I have run across this person's art.
Yeah, like, I could say they do good work. I don't know, like, their politics or anything. They had most of their work was on Tumblr, and then, you know, what happened to porn on Tumblr?
Yeah. Tumblr decided that they wanted to no longer be a website that was worth any money.
Yeah, but they do, you know, they do some very good human ponies. They've done some good Sunset Shimmer that I appreciate, but again, I don't know if they're, what their politics are, if they're, like, cool or not, but, you know, they've done some good work.
Well, until we find out that their politics are horrible, wonderful, great.
Yeah, but, you know, they do draw pornography, as you might guess from the name Ponut
Joe. Yes. What a fucking pony. What a night.
Yeah, oh, what a night. Good times. Be honest, I thought we were going to talk about it for longer.
Yeah, same.
But there's actually not a lot to this episode. It spreads itself really thin with, like, the six plot lines and all the songs, which are hard to talk about anyways.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, all the plot lines are fairly simple.
The same.
Like, the thing is, like, they keep on needing to, like, recontextualize the plot line every time they come back to it. So, like, if you just took, like, say, all the scenes that were Fluttershy, like, in the garden, and you just tried to condense all those into one chunk of story together, you could actually cut even more out of it, because, like, you wouldn't need to be recontextualizing again.
Yeah, no wonder they wrote, like, more songs for this episode, because, you know, it's basically all montage.
Yeah. It's just a giant montage, which, like, not bad. Like, again, every time we see a montage from them, it gets a little bit better than the last time. Like, their writing and animators are learning how to do really good montages. But this episode is just a montage.
Yeah, like, it's a fun episode. It's competently assembled, and it helps that it doesn't really have a moral other than, like, it doesn't really have a moral other than, like, you know, You know, it's good to spend time with your friends. Friendship is magic.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Maybe just enjoy your friendship, even if a fancy party's going on.
Yeah, like, you know, have fun together at the con.
Yeah, exactly.
But as a matter of fact, we do have two letters. We'll see if we can get to both of them. Otherwise, we'll answer it next season.
Yeah.
But, all right, so one comes from, well, it was delivered by our beloved zip code, and it reads, Dear Spark and Beans, so sad we didn't run into you during the meteor shower a few weeks ago. Starry was so excited and kept talking and pointing things out all night, but you two must have been busy keeping a low profile so you can be as close to the camera frame as possible. The most embarrassing thing happened to me the other day. I was filling in for someone at the grocery store the other day, and the apples were doing their shopping. I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, so I don't know what they were saying, but every time there was a pause, I could clearly hear Big Mac's signature, yup. When I was ringing them up, they asked me a question, and I could not tell you what it was, because without thinking, I responded, yup. Ladies, I was as red as he was. Thank Luna, they didn't say anything about it. Have fun at the gala, Ivy made.
Aw, thank you, Ivy.
Thank you for your letter, Ivy. Always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Also, anytime we start talking about Big Mac, I have to do, like, my brain's just like, I can't say yes anymore, I have to say yup. Like,
He's such a
good boy, but also, like, oh man, his way of speaking is infectious.
Like, he's fun, he's folksy.
Get yourself a boy who do both. Be fun, be folksy. Eat hot chip and lie.
It is weird that everypony else can see the camera frame too, or is at least aware of it.
I mean, they write into us though.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, maybe it's just been we've been so busy with like keeping up with all the like. Ivy was also isekai'd like us, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, she and Starry.
Just making sure that that's. Look, there's extended lore going on here, and
yeah,
dear listeners, I slightly injured myself trying to keep up with everyone at the party, so I'm actually kind of in pain right now. Like, if I'm sure our darling Spark here has been trying to edit it out, but you might have caught a few little glugs of my little ice bag that I've been like holding against my flank this whole time, like.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. So,
I've been wearing the nurse outfit and carrying the big syringe and kissing her better as best I can.
I appreciate it, and it does help, but also, ow.
Yeah. I know, dear. Well, you'll be all better soon, I promise.
Yeah.
Mwah. That does raise the question of, we've been assuming we have to podcast to eventually get home or something. Hopefully we're podcasting good enough for Ivy and Starry, too.
Yeah, it's... The canon of our existence is becoming confusing, and it's only season one.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe one of these days we'll have a wiki.
Yeah. I was thinking about that earlier with the four corners of the room. Like, having some fan, like, carefully tracking how the corners of the room change over the...
Oh, yeah, a little diagram.
Yeah. Look, if we somehow get... that popular doing this, I will be amazed and horrified. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do if we actually had a following.
I mean, look, we got like Squeeze and Ivy and Starry and stuff. Like there's a few like following even here in Equestria. We got crossover fan and a few people who've messaged me on the Twitter. Like I don't know, we got. There's a few.
Yeah, we're getting some horse appreciators, and we appreciate all of you. I love you, listener, parasocially.
Yeah.
I'm your friend.
Yes, hello, engage with us. We are brand.
And friend, I'd like to tell you about these hot new mattresses we've invented. It's called My Dick.
It is quite comfy.
Damn right. Got the comfiest dick in Ponyville.
Yeah. Comfy with a U in there.
Very wise.
It looks like we have one more letter there. Wanna open that one up for us?
Oh, I would love to, dear. Let's see. Set out the little corner there, and... Ahem. Your graceful spark and spilled beans. I want to start this off by saying there are very few things you two can do that'll make me stop listening. You guys have gotten me through many a boring work day, and it truly made my month to find out you look forward to my letters from the sounds of it as much as I look forward to your show. Also, keep going on tangents, they're the best. I started laughing my paws off when you got to that Bunny Bravo part. Coincidentally, that's Johnny Bravo's mom's name. Oh, I didn't know that.
Huh.
This bunny, MILF.
Right? Apparently so. Oh, the bird is very excited for the MILF bunny.
Wouldn't you be?
I mean, yeah, it's fair.
Now, just to set the record straight, I'm a cis male, pronouncer he, him, and I'm an asexual. I just get a lot of aesthetic crushes. To summarize, I'm not looking to buy, I just really like window shopping. My taste just leans in a more masculine direction. For example, I really like facial hair and think most guys look better with some sort of facial hair, even a peach fuzz mustache. Take Big Mac and tell me, if he had a short, scruffy farmer beard with some 5 o'clock shadow around the edges, he wouldn't look way more attractive. Well, this diamond doggo has taken up enough of your time, but before I end this, I'm writing before the gala. So A, I hope you have a wonderful time, and B, remember when the cake comes out to duck for cover and start making your way to an exit behind cover. Your fan, Crossover Fan. First of all, dear, thank you for your letter.
Yeah. I wish we had read this before.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we could have saved ourselves a lot of trouble.
A little bit, yeah. We need to start reading these letters beforehand. That would probably help.
We at least start screening them or something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, hindsight is 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I appreciate the effort to help. And I am thinking about a Big Mac with a scruffy beard, and it's definitely not, like, a hot eye find, but I can understand the appeal of Big Mac with some facial hair. I can see it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I have gone through things that I like to be... Well, okay, it's weird to say I like to be shaven or smooth or whatever when I'm a horse, but we do see ponies with facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think it would look good on Big Mac. I can, you know, you enjoy that sort of a little more unkempt look, that kind of, you know, a guy who's been working out in the fields all day. He's, got a bit of a beard on him because he's a rugged outdoor horse.
Yeah. From things I've heard about future Big Mac content, we might have to remember this when that comes up, because, like, I have always kind of defined my sexuality as more along the lines of, like, they look good and comfortable and enjoy being in a skirt. And if that's the case, cool, I'm probably into them at some level. Yeah. So,
Big Macintosh has some gender, from what I remember.
Hmm. So we'll have to get there and then be like, can I get Big Mac in a dress and also scruffy and still find that attractive to me in the same way? We'll have to find out.
Yeah. Like, the nice thing is I'm very sure there's an episode that answers this exact question, and I'm looking forward to seeing... I've seen some people call it transphobic and some people call it cool and good, so we will see.
Well, did Grant Lennon write it? man. Could you imagine just destroying your entire career because you wrote one shitty transphobic episode and people called you out for it? And didn't even, like, call you over. They're just like, man, this episode kind of sucks for this one part. And he's like, aw, cool. Yeah. Let me just punch myself in the dick with transphobia.
Yeah, and then that became his entire thing forever, to the point where even other turds, like, even, like, the mums that crowd don't want anything to do with him. They're just like, my guy, what are you doing here? Leave us alone.
I don't know if it's just one of those things that the internet says, or if it's an actual thing, but I recall a rumor of his, like, ex-wife now sleeping with a trans woman, which is just perfect.
Yeah, love wins.
Yeah. Put these ladies in a good boot. Anyway.
Woman be boot sitting.
Yeah. And, thank you for clarifying. Mm-hmm. Our darling Diamond Doggo.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself often defaulting to, like, I'm assuming anyone who wants to interact with me is, like, gay or pan, and I do forget that ace is also a very viable, like, non-het option.
Mm-hmm. We live in a beautiful tapestry of genders and sexualities.
Yeah, exactly. I am just an uncontrollably horny person, so I fully admit I have a blind spot for ace sometimes, and I'm trying to be better about it.
Noted sex haver. Spilled beans.
Right?
Boy, did you just see how much sex this horse can have? It's quite a bit.
It's more than you think. It's a higher volume.
Pat's head of horse. This bitch could fit so much sex in her.
That's the ideal. That's the point. Size queening is about. Anyway.
That makes sense. You have to, you have to grind up. Grinding means something else in this context, but, you know.
But yeah, and probably grind down a bit too, you know, as you do. It's great. For people who want to enjoy that, of course, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And you're very good at enjoying it, dear.
Look. Yes. if there was an Olympics of sex, one, you know the committee would be horrible to whatever city's hosting it and also have some stupid regulations. And two, I would be getting medals. Thank you very much.
I mean, the nice thing about the Olympics is that it is kind of already the Olympics of sex. Like, The Olympic athletes are fucking.
Yes. Like, there were the cardboard beds. I remember those.
Yeah, but remember, like, people started talking about the cardboard beds like they were some kind of, like, sex prevention device. So the Olympic Committee had to say, no, you could put two people on the bed. Like, that's not what they're for. We promise you, you can have sex on the bed.
We know the reputation, and we have to stop letting people think that we are being prudes about it.
Yeah, the beds are made of cardboard for COVID reasons, not for, you know, no sex reasons. You can have sex on the bed.
You just have to do it while socially distanced.
Yeah, like, you know.
Look, if there's any people in the world who can probably have sex while social distancing, it's probably Olympic athletes.
I'm going to jerk off, come six feet, and land it right in the pussy.
Right? Perfect.
I'm gonna pole vault right into that puss. The pole pussy, if you will.
Oh, why did I bring this? Why is this where this went?
Sorry. Shot pussy. Okay, I'm done.
Not even anything but the 1,000-meter jerk or the triathlon.
Yeah, biathlon, buddy. I'm by day.
Fuck.
I'm a bisexual, and that I want to cross country ski and shoot a gun at the same time.
Mm.
While having sex.
Okay, but we can all agree that there is no hetero explanation for skeleton, right?
Yeah.
Like,
fellas, is it gay to get in a toboggan with like four other dudes?
I was gonna say, like, tobogganing at least makes some more sense. Like, skeleton is just straight up to, like, one person lying on top of another person on a tiny sled.
I know we already use this as an episode title, but you do invent elaborate excuses to touch other men.
Right? It's a shame we burned that one so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it was worth it.
Yes, that's fair. I do know that there's been one or two, like, messages I've received of just like, man, that episode title's really ominous.
Yeah.
Because it is. Oh, shit. Yeah. I also fully get the whole, like, window shopping thing. I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very nice to be like, damn, that girl's a hot, and only mutter that to the person I'm on a date with, and then just, we both agree, and then just move on with our date, and then see the entire interaction.
Yeah.
Perfect. Done.
Yeah, you get to appreciate people. It's nice. Don't be rude about it, but it's nice.
I do miss one, a coffee shop that I went to with a partner back in Human World, way back when, and we had asked for refills of our coffee, like just another round of our coffees, and I don't know how she misheard it, but she had heard us asking for her number instead.
Oh,
and you ever have one of those moments where you're just like, damn, I wish I wasn't. Like, I wish I was a slight bit less socially awkward, because damn, I should have said yes, that too, please. But no, we were both, like, both of us like, oh, no, it's not what we're going for. I mean, yeah. And by the time, like, it got awkward, so,
yeah,
that would have been nice.
Yeah, you know, if you're offering.
Yeah.
And now you've been easy to get into your own coffee shop AU, where you can get accidentally asked for your phone number.
Yeah, but we don't have a phone here.
Yeah, you guys will have to get one. You know, just in case.
Like, yeah, but no one else in Ponyville has a phone either.
Yeah, like, I want to say we see phones later on, like, because I distinctly remember there's, like, a J. Jonah Jameson horse, like, a P. Pota Potison or whatever.
P. Pona. I don't know if I'm into this one.
And I believe he has a phone, just, like, on his desk.
Okay, well, as soon as we run across evidence of phone being invented in setting, we can go get a phone number to have someone bashfully ask for our phone number.
Yeah. Like, Yeah, we don't see any phones in Ponyville, but Equestria's technology level is just all over the place.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, we saw a dang DJ turntable today. Like, that seemed like it's harder to invent than a telephone, but I don't know. I'm not a phone doctor.
I mean, every gramophone is a DJ turntable if you try hard enough.
me, I'm gonna scratch this Edison wax cylinder.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Get fucked, Edison.
Hey, Edison. Bitch.
Right?
Yeah, and if you'd like to be on this show, Thomas Edison, even though you died in the past, email us at sexpiersbababooey@isekai.org. We might read the letter on the air.
If we're going to revive one ancient inventor, let's at least get Tesla, the one that was slightly better.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him. If you, you know what? If you're a dead inventor and you'd like to be on the show, email us. At ghosthorse@isekai.org. You might read your letter on the air. I don't know how you can get isekai'd if you're a ghost. You may already be isekai'd.
Getting isekai'd into heaven. That's just dying.
I'm just saying that, like, I don't know. Maybe this is heaven. Maybe all the ponies we know are the soul of someone who died long ago.
Maybe.
And we're the only ones who figured out to podcast about it.
That's a very concerning variation of this story.
Is it more or less concerning than your cutie mark falls off when you get old?
Listeners, I don't know how to answer this one, so if someone wants to chime in on this, because I feel this moral quandary is two very, like, horrifying concepts that are impossible to compare to me.
Yeah, they're on different levels, I'll admit that. We're kind of comparing existential apples to cosmic oranges here.
Yeah. Like, they're both definitely variations of weird existential dread. Just different flavors that are hard to compare.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because I'm thinking about it now, listener, I would request that you go and listen to Penelope Scott's song simply titled Rat. Especially you can find, I think it's a YouTube video she made where people are just asking her some questions about, like, making of the song. And it is called Rat because of just, it's about, you know, elongated muskrat.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way she drops that information is possibly some of the most, like, flat but hilarious delivery I've ever heard. It's very good.
Aw.
It lives in my head rent-free. It's a very good song.
Good taste.
I like my fucking trash artist who hate rich people music. It pleased my soul.
And look forward to the sequel series to this podcast. We got hit by a Tesla and easily get into the afterlife?
I mean, the thing is, we've not been in the human world for a while. That might have happened by now. The whole self-driving...
Oh, yeah, no, like, people have died because of Teslas.
Like, being hit by them, or just because they, like, burst into flame?
I could not tell you for certain, but I do know they are not safe.
They do exist.
Yeah, they do exist. They're not very good at looking out for children, especially, they're not good cars.
I know one of my favorite videos was, that I caught on YouTube before we got in. I'm sorry that I'm now just reminiscing about content from Human World. But it was a Tesla owner who was pulled over by a cop for having, like, their, like, iPad, like, mounted on their dashboard. Because that's illegal. And just, like, the cop not understanding that, like, it's built into the car. It can't be removed from the dashboard. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the dashboard. Like, the cop just not understanding that. And the Tesla owner just having no understanding of how to talk to someone who isn't a tech bro to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fucking hilarious? And the only reason it isn't a fucking tragedy is because that Tesla owner was white. But you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to see two different flavors of asshole being an asshole to each other, and assuming that video still exists, That's very good, too. Why me recommending content on my podcast? I'm just...
Yeah. That's kind of what this is for.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what this is for is getting us out of Equestria, one assumes, at some point. We don't even know if that's true, but, you know, we're here, we might as well do it.
We started a podcast and died while doing it. Clearly, that is how we return to life?
Yeah, this is our unfinished business.
Oh, God, we're the podcasting ghosts. Aw, shit.
Yeah, I mean, if my theory that I don't necessarily believe is correct, then we're all ghosts.
Okay, yes, right, yes, yes. Equestria is purgatory for people. Understood.
Oh, God damn it! That's like my least favorite kind of fan theory. I can't believe I walked right into it.
You just backed yourself directly into it!
Like, it's never insightful. It's always like, what if in Ed, Edd and Eddy everyone's been dead the whole time, and all the kids died in a different decade? Like, so what? Like, that doesn't explain anything. It doesn't mean anything. How about a better theory?
Congratulations. Yeah, that doesn't... Yeah, it's... Like, at some level, I kind of love those bad theories, because, like, they are just so fucking hollow.
Mm-hmm.
But also, damn, you really gotta come up with a better theory.
Yeah, like, this is what TV Tropes does to you.
Exactly, this is TV Tropes brain. Don't do the fucking... baby's first literary analysis.
Mm-hmm. We're the only guys who know how to call out the bullshit of children's media, and against all odds, we do it for free.
I can't make another rant about MatPat. The last one was so recent, I gotta space them out more.
Can you believe he hasn't emailed us yet?
I know! It's insulting! What the fuck, my dude?
Don't you know who we are?
Obviously not! And that's the problem!
I can't believe we're getting big-leagued by MatPat and Nikola Tesla and Thomas Edison.
Shima hasn't written us either. Why are we even doing... Oh, right, yeah, trying to skate, right. We're not trying to bait famous people.
Yeah.
Right, fuck. Podcasting priorities are all over the place.
I mean, I don't want to, like, jinx us, but I'm still, like, 80% sure we're gonna get an email from Weird Al one of these days.
Oh, God, fuck. I would be over the moon. Yeah, oh my God.
I could die happy.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, I can't think about it anymore. I can't risk jinxing us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility, and I can't wish for it, or else it will not come true.
Yeah, we can't sabotage it by talking about it too much.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there has had sex with Pinkie Pie, email us. at pinkiepuss@yusukai.horse. We might read your letter on the mare. And if you're Pinkie Pie and you've had sex with someone, that's not all that unusual.
Congratulations.
I kind of assume you sleep with every pony. Not in like a cool way, you know? Like, yeah, live your truth, dear. I get it.
Pinkie Pie is the pickup artist that's actually a cool one, in that they're very respectful about it and very clear it's a one-night stand thing.
Mm-hmm.
He means by party.
Yeah. Yeah, she was willing to suck every dick at the Grand Galloping Gala.
The thing is, they're very rich fuckos, so I don't know. I don't want the taste of rich dick in my mouth, thank you.
Yeah, more for me. Well, as in... Eh. Wait, no. I don't want to suck rich asshole dick.
More time in my mouth for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Happy ending.
Exactly! Isn't that right, Bird?
Mm-hmm. But, in that case, everypony, well... Let's see you all in season 2 of Our Existence.
Yeah, that's horse, baby.
That's horse. We horsed it up.
Yeah.
Buttercup.
I want to go lie down now.
All right. Let's sign off and then I'll kiss you better, dear.
Yeah.
Change your eyes.
Yeah.
Out. This has been We Were Hit by Horse Trick and Using Edge to Equestria. I have been Ponyville's beloved graceful spark. You can find my writing programs, podcast posts, and everything else a bit to plug at princess.software. Beans, dearest, where can we find you?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I run the Horse Isekai Twitter account. So if you message that, I'll be responding to you there. If you want to reach the parts of me that are not stuck here in Equestria, I can be found at draekos.art, draekos.art. Yeah.
Huh?
D.
See you next season, folks.
Mwah. Mwah. Bye.
Bye. Pony.